Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Well, I am not Kerry Barrick. Kerry's not going to be with us this morning. We're going to have Reese Martin instead. Poor Kerry is down with a bit of COVID and was feeling pretty poorly yesterday when I spoke to her. And we do hope she gets to feeling better real soon. Nasty stuff out there, my friends. COVID is going around. It's a flu, and it is going around, and it's nasty. Martin Pavel, I just spoke to him. He's been down for several days and kind of torpedoed his plans on the road. But we are still going to be talking about all the exciting developments in Oklahoma. And I think you're going to find this very inspiring. And Reese, good morning. Thank you for taking your Sunday morning to do this. Let's see if we can get Reese with us this morning. I have a little audio issue here. Hey, Reese? So we're having a lot of fun this morning. Like I say, Kerry Barrick is down with COVID. So we're trying to fill in here on a short notice with Reese Martin of the Oklahoma Route 66 Association. He's actually the president of the association there. And we got Cheryl Jett with us this morning, one of the very talented author and one of the primary organizers from the annual Miles of Possibility Conference.
All right. How about now?
Ah, there you are, Mr. Reese.
Yeah, I got a connection error and it wouldn't let me reconnect. So thank you very much. Sorry.
You know, Reese, like I say, I have learned, and I think we all have learned through COVID and Zoom, and well, we've got to learn to be flexible like Gumby.
Yes.
Thanks for doing this on such short notice this morning, Reese, and taking time from your Sunday.
Yeah, I felt bad. I just saw Kerry the other day, and when she called me, gosh, it just, you could tell she was just under the weather, and so I'm more than happy to fill in.
I greatly appreciate it, because we wanted to inspire people with what you folks are doing in Oklahoma, and with this new grant program. This is a game changer.
You know, it's wonderful, and it's kind of crazy, because we've been talking about it here for so long, and it's been in the works for a very long time, and now it's finally here. That doesn't quite feel real, but for those that are not aware, this grant program was actually passed by the legislature, completely independent of all the centennial workings that the state has been working on for the last couple of years, to establish a fund of $6.6 million a year that communities can apply for grants in order to help enhance the Route 66 corridor. The grants available for municipalities, for counties, for nonprofits, and for government entities. So I know Kerry and myself have both been going up and down Route 66 for about the last year and a half, saying, hey, this is going to be available. Get your plans ready. So once this launches, you can get your plans in and we can start making things happen.
Well, you know, one of the key things here is this is a great step towards building a sense of community and to building cooperative partnerships. And that is the very foundation for community transformation. And you tirelessly spend so much time, you and your charming wife spend so much time dedicated to Route 66 and capitalizing on this centennial and using it to bring some new life to communities. I'll tell you, it's quite inspirational.
Well, it helps to enjoy what you do.
Well, you definitely do, because I never see you without a smile. Tulsa has also become the poster child for tapping into Route 66 as a catalyst for revitalization and economic development.
I'm really proud of what Tulsa has accomplished, because they used to be just the polar opposite. You'd come through Route 66 and be like, oh, well, they obviously don't care about it. But this started almost 20 years ago when the city made a point to pass, you know, what would generally be boring, you know, a master plan for city development for the Route 66 corridor. But that's how these things start, is with some kind of city group saying, okay, well, we're going to purposefully work to develop this area. And that's where some of the capital improvements came from, the Cyrus Avery statue by the Arkansas River, and getting the Meadowgold sign moved and refurbished. And then about 6-7 years ago, the Tulsa Route 66 Commission started meeting regularly, which was also part of this long-term master plan. And that's really when, so to speak, the rubber hit the road. And we launched our Neon Grant program. We worked on signage in the town, really enhanced offerings for businesses. And so now when you drive down Route 66 in Oklahoma, it feels like this, well, it is this vibrant corridor that when I talk to travelers that come through here, because I myself live in Tulsa, they say, gosh, we didn't plan enough time here. We have to come back. And that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, the idea is not just heads in beds, but it's showcasing your community to prospective future residents and future business owners. I am always surprised by how few communities on Route 66 get it. They see, you know, they don't see the potential. And it even amazes me more as we approach the centennial. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for communities to be transformed.
I agree. You know, and we have some other initiatives here, too, that I'm really proud of. The Christmas shoot in Sepulpa, last year was their first year. Basically, they closed down Dewey Avenue, which is Route 66, their main corridor in town, and built this amazing Christmas installation that you walk through. You've got all these decorations hanging over the street, and it's this really unique experience. Even the Today Show came out to experience it. It got such a great boost last year. But this year, the success of that inspired all of the communities between Tulsa and Oklahoma City to create this midpoint corridor, which is basically this loose confederation of towns that want to work together on Route 66 development. And this year they did this organized Christmas light corridor where everyone picked a different theme and they synchronized their lights on events. So they were still doing their own thing, but they were doing it together in a way that they were playing with each other, not against each other. And that's what that is so great to see from a statewide perspective. Cause anytime you're talking about tourism in any other respect, it's about, you know, how do we get people to come here? With Route 66, they're already coming here. You just got to get them to stop, and they're going to come to you. They're not going to avoid you because of your neighbor. So it's just really wonderful.
It is. And, you know, Michael Wallace, years ago, he coined that term that Route 66 is a linear community. And it is truly a unique animal. But when you start looking at it as a linear community, you see that Tulsa and Kingman, Arizona are just quirky neighborhoods in that community. And if we work together and we pool our resources and we build the partnerships, you know, wonderful things will happen. Nolan Stoltz has a question for you. He asked about the smaller places such as Texola, Eric, Foss, Afton. Are they going to have access to the grant funds and organizations helping these small communities and applying?
Great question. Good morning, Nolan. Yes. So all municipalities and in areas like Texola, where they don't really have an organized town anymore, the county can apply for funds for these projects. Now, they go before a 9-person commission that looks at the application, and then they vote to disperse the funds. The grant is a minimum of $25,000, maximum of $2 million. And so when you think of a town like Canute, and say they want to restore the Cotton Bowl neon sign, which I certainly hope they do. That's one of my favorites, and that would be amazing. Getting together, you know, anytime you're dealing with a grant fund like this, it's a reimbursement grant, right? So how is a town like that going to come together and get $25,000 in the first place to restore the sign and then to have it reimbursed? So We're still working through some of that. The commission has said it doesn't necessarily have to be a reimbursement. There is a pretty limited turnaround time from when the funds are awarded versus when they need invoices and stuff. If you've ever done any work with any state government agency, there's definitely some hoops to jump through. But that's really Carrie's primary role, is to go around to these communities, help them fill out the grant application, help shepherd it through the process. If there's an issue with it, getting it back to them to let them know, hey, this isn't as strong as it should be. Let's help get it together so that you have all the information you need. So once it gets in front of this commission, they're just going to be like, this is great, done, and send it out. And the association, what we're planning to do is to apply for a grant for some funds to launch a NEON grant program throughout the state, similar to what the city of Tulsa has had, which has been really successful. So that when you do have some places where maybe you have a small business in a town that has a neon sign that's been dark for a long time or something like that, they can apply for a grant to get that restored and relit, because private businesses can't apply on their own. But as a nonprofit, the Oklahoma Route 66 Association hopes to help with some of those projects when, you know, maybe it's not a $25,000 price tag, but we can still help make that happen.
Well, this is, you know, crucial. The key thing that you have managed to do, and you yourself have filled this role admirably, is leadership. Leadership that inspires, leadership that builds these partnerships, leadership that thinks outside the box. And you have played that role very well with the Oklahoma Association. You've done an amazing job with it.
Thank you. It's tough. Some days I feel like I'm on an island. I never really am. As you mentioned, Samantha, my wife has been such a great support. And you know, we launched a new kids membership this year with the association, and that's all her doing. And so none of us are actually on an island. And that's one thing that I'm particularly proud of, is as part of my role with the association, I'm also in charge of a state association working group for the Route 66 Road Ahead Partnership, a national organization. And so I have a call every month where the representatives from every state association are welcome to call in, and we talk about what we're doing and what we need help with. And, you know, it's just great to have open communication with everybody else again. So much like these communities, we're not playing against each other. We're working with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, Route 66, we can't become myopic. Route 66 is the low-hanging fruit. Each community has its own unique assets. And Route 66 is just merely, if you will, the spotlight that puts a spotlight on that community. And by working together, though, you can weave a pretty rich and colorful tapestry. You mentioned Eric, Oklahoma. I assume Harley is still stirring up things out there in Eric, keeping things lively.
He is. You know, of course, it's the winter months, so he's typically at his redneck castle instead of the main shop, but still remaining very active on social media, and we're so happy that he's still out doing, performing, and providing his unique perspective on the world out in Eric.
Unique perspective. Yeah, that is as diplomatic as you can get. I like it. Yeah, you know, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, Eric, in and of itself, is another community that I'm hoping we'll be able to get them some help, because, I mean, you've got Harley out there, but you also, you know, the Roger Miller Museum is gone now. You have the Meridian Museum there that we're hoping we can help them get some money. There's a great old hardware store next to there called the Bone Break.
Yes.
In there and look in the window, it just looks like they locked the door 50 years ago and hit the road. But it's like the ceiling in that building is starting to fall in on itself. And if that building goes, that's going to be catastrophic. And that's part of the difficulty when it comes to preservation. You know, we heard about it. I got to thank Blue Miller out there for letting me know that she had seen some of that last time she was out in Eric. We got a hold of the mayor of the town. They got a hold of the owners. But at the end of the day, it's up to the folks that own these buildings to you know, reach out and say, you know, hey, we're going to fix it, or hey, we need help fixing it. And if they're not interested, you know, we all have stories of places that we just regret we're not able to save. But, you know, step one is knowing that there's an opportunity.
Well, you know, and some of this, as tragic as it is, you hate losing it, but what do you do with it? And the cost of renovation. Of course, we've been struggling with Hotel Beale here in Kingman, but the Truxton Canyon Indian Agency School out in Valentine is an amazing structure. It's very controversial history, But what do you do with it? Even if you got the building, it would be multi-million dollar renovation. It's in the middle of nowhere. Where's your return on investment?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's part of the problem.
Same issue in Tulsa with this, with the 11th Street Bridge here. It's such an integral landmark. And, you know, granted, I'm from Oklahoma, so I know I'm a little biased, but I feel like that bridge is the most important landmark on the entire stretch. Because if that bridge wasn't there, Cyrus Avery wouldn't have been able to convince them to route the highway the way they did. And it forever changed the landscape in Missouri and Oklahoma and Texas. But it's been closed since the 1980s, and it's crumbling and falling into the river, and nobody wants to pay $20+ million to restore and reinforce that structure, because then what? It just sits there.
Well, there's a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, it's hard for states to justify investing when they can't even keep the main highways open.
Yeah.
But a couple of thoughts on that. Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was back there speaking recently, and they've done an amazing job with revitalization along the river, very blighted area. And they had a beautiful bridge from the early 1920s. And state, federal, and city money they put into this. They cleared an area at both ends. They put in beautiful parks. They renovated the bridge for bicycle and pedestrian corridor, and then used it to spark revitalization and investment at both ends around the parks. Kind of a neat idea. Here in Arizona, I was very surprised that they spent the money to renovate the Chevelon Canyon Bridge. I'm glad they did, but, you know, that's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you know, when we first met, gosh, that was 8 years ago when I came out for the Painted Desert Tour.
Yeah.
You know, you told me about that bridge, and I remember driving out there early one morning and seeing this beautifully restored truss bridge, like you say, literally in the middle of nowhere, like it had just been placed there recently. It was just incredible, and it's beautiful, but that's the exception rather than the rule.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I mention this often because people sometimes have trouble with change on Route 66. They want the authentic experience. They become very myopic, narrow-minded. I always tell them if they want an authentic experience, turn off the air conditioning in July and drive across the Mojave Desert. Things change. Route 66 has always been about evolution. And you, your wife, Roman Rich, you're the face of Route 66 in the second century of the highway's history. And your ambition, your vision, the things you folks are doing, it's pretty damned impressive.
It's an honor to be among a group of people that are so passionate about it. And, you know, I wake up each morning, and I mean, especially the last couple of years, and I'm sure for the next few, it's going to be kind of all day, every day as we get to and through the centennial. And then, of course, it doesn't end there. It keeps moving forward. And, you know, I'm especially with this grant coming up, I'm really excited to see how the road evolves in the next couple of years.
I am too. I watch, I believe right now that Illinois and Oklahoma are the ones that you guys are figuring out. You're selling everything on the hog, including the squeal. Missouri's right behind you. The rest of us, well, we're kind of lagging a bit. So we need inspiration from and ideas that we can plagiarize from you folks.
Yeah, like anytime you deal with government agencies that want to get involved, I know New Mexico is struggling with being recognized. Their state is organizing centennial stuff, but the state association doesn't have a seat at the table currently. I know Nikki Seegers with the Arizona Association mentioned that she's forging ahead with something because the state's not really answering her calls. California's having the same struggle, you know, and poor Kansas, you know, 13.2 miles. The state legislature is just not that. But, you know, the good news about Kansas is both Missouri and Oklahoma, we kind of fold them in under what we're doing.
Yes.
So it's, again, it is exciting to be able to talk to folks in these state associations. And Illinois, they have a new president. They just elected Dwight Cannon. He's great. I've been able to visit with him a little bit. He's excited to, you know, get in more involved and everything. So I think we're all moving in a good direction, but you're right. There's definitely some groups that have more ground to make up than others.
Well, that takes us to the Miles of Possibility Conference. And by the way, it was great to see you there. I am very sorry I didn't get to see you and Sam in Tulsa. My plans went south really fast with road construction delays, wrecked cattle trucks, a few other things. Became kind of entertaining. But the Miles of Possibility Conference, the next couple of years, I think that that's going to be a very important resource. It already is an important resource, but I think it's going to take on a real prominence the next couple of years, because it's the only event of its kind that we have where we can get people together exactly for this, building networks, networking, sharing ideas. I think it's really important.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when we talk about Route 66, even here in our communities in Oklahoma, you still struggle to get some folks that aren't really plugged in to know it's more than just car shows. You know, there's actual economic development happening. This is a concerted effort. There are professionals involved in making a lot of these things happen. And Miles of Possibility, to me, is one of the best examples of, you know, look, this is something people are literally working on. This is something we're all passionate about. And it's more than just grabbing a milkshake down at the diner and then heading home. I really enjoyed Miles of Possibility this year. It was my first time getting to be able to attend, especially hearing Marion's presentation about Route 66 navigation and, you know, the information he's able to get from it and kind of where he sees things going in the next couple of years.
Well, this is another thing that makes the communities along Route 66, it puts them in a very unique position, is Route 66, yes, it's an American highway, but it's not an American highway. It has become an international destination. And once you get communities to realize that anything they can do for marketing and promotion, regardless of their budget, it will be magnified throughout the world. And Marion, it's a real pleasure to work with him, but yeah, he gives a different perspective to things. And sometimes our face is too close to the page. And he helps broaden that perspective a lot.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, Reese, like I say, I'm so grateful that you were able to do this on a Sunday morning. I know you know your time off is very limited, and I really appreciate this. We're going to reschedule with Carrie next month, and I've got a few great programs coming up. We're going to be talking with Angie at the Route 66 Info Station. Start the first of the year with that. And then we're going to have Casey Claypool talking about the Illinois Scenic Byways and docks just off 66. Great little shop there. So we got some great things coming up. And I'll be in L.A., Burbank, actually, on, January 20th. I'll be over there signing some books and doing Route 66 speaking engagements in the L.A. area. See if we can spread the word. As always, Reese, if I can do anything to help you folks out that way, you just holler. The worst that happens is I laugh and say, well, that ain't happening. But I'll always jump in where I can. Thank you so much, Reese, not just for this, but for what you guys are doing. And I don't want to give you a big head so your hat don't fit, but you folks really are an inspiration out there. You really, really have been... You're just creating these wonderful programs like this grant that shows that things can be done. And if you're not on Route 66, your community's got a history and you can use it as ignite some passion, some excitement in the community, and economic development.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I mean, I don't do this in a vacuum. I have so much support from the folks
sure.
in the communities and our board and, you know, all of that. So it's a real pleasure. And likewise, you know, like you said, we are a linear community and we're happy to help however we can.
How's Mr. Wallace doing? I haven't talked to him in a bit. And I understand he's been a little under the weather, having some issues.
Yeah, Michael's had a bit of a rough year. He's had some health challenges, but we think he's on the other side of it. And, you know, we're talking about getting him a new computer, which is great. His poor old Mac has reached its end of life, but he wanted to wait till he was pretty much on the tail end of writing his next book about Bell Star, which has been submitted. But he's in really good spirits, which is the biggest thing.
Sure.
You know, he's hanging in there. We're looking forward to getting together after the holiday. And I know he is very involved with the Federal Commission. And so he's, you know, onwards and upwards.
Ah, I recognize that phrase. UFO, that's another great asset you've got there. Some of the true pioneers in the Route 66 Renaissance movement are in your neighborhood. Jim Ross, Jerry McClanahan, Michael Wallace. These are the pioneers that I've been standing on their shoulders for everything I'm doing. And to have their input and have them right in your neighborhood, boy, that's another plus.
You know, literally, I was on my way back from Oklahoma City, 2 weeks ago, and my car electronics started going haywire outside of Arcadia, and I called Jim Ross and was like, hey, are you home? And so I was able to just pull into his driveway and do a little troubleshooting, so I made it home safely in one piece. But yeah, literally, it's great to have these folks nearby and as resources I can call and say, hey, I've got a question, can you help me with this? They're very open with their time and happy to help, and you know, they all bring a little something different to the table. I haven't figured out exactly how. I really want to make sure that, you know, the State Association pays tribute to all of these people over the years that have helped carry us to this point where we're at now, because as you've said, we've all said, you know, Route 66 is really about the people. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, the Round Barn and the Blue Whale, these are great. But, you know, as we get to the centennial, it's really important to make sure we do what we can to recognize the people that got us here.
Well, it's the whole thing from beginning to the centennial and beyond, it is the people. Yourself, Sam, the people, the Round Barn. Well, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for people who were passionate and dedicated themselves to making sure that that landmark is still there. And likewise with the new landmarks, like Pops, you know, there's a landmark for a new generation. That's quite a place. You know, honoring those people. Have you ever thought of like an Oklahoma Route 66 Walk of Fame down at Cyrus Avery Plaza?
Well, Walk of Fame is an interesting idea. We have a Hall of Fame at the Oklahoma Route 66 Museum in Clinton. And so when you walk in the door, you've got all these plaques of all these folks that we recognized over the years.
Yes.
As having contributions to Route 66. But as it is, it's just this static wall of pictures and years and things like that. And I'm currently working on an initiative to help digitize those awards, basically, so people can at least go to our website, see that, hear why they were nominated, what they did. But there's definitely an opportunity to make that somewhat more interactive so people can learn about these folks, because that's kind of the name of the game now, is finding ways to make these installations a bit more interactive.
Yeah, with QR codes, you know, you could bring Jerry McClanahan's story to life. Well, Reese, I sure won't tie you up. I'll let you run. I want to thank you again very, very much for doing this, and give a shout out to a couple other folks here. Louis Keene down at the Uranus Fudge Company. I understand he's beat cancer and he's on the road to recovery, which is great. It looks like he's got he's never short of ideas out there, and he's going gangbusters on some new projects. And I understand David Brenner out at the Roadrunner Lodge has got some projects he's working on. Hey, folks, if you know anybody that is sick of cold weather or California congestion, they're a plumber or electrician, opportunity is knocking out in Tucumcari. Shortage of good craftsmen is holding up some projects out that way. So if you're looking for a new hometown, you might consider Tucumcari. See what else? Oh, Connie Eccles. Connie had some confusion where she had listed the motel for sale. Some people thought she had closed. Connie's not closed. She's there and she's always still smiling. But she does have the property up for sale. She's given thought to passing the torch a little bit. So another business opportunity for you. Folks, we will do this again next week, even though it's Christmas Eve. Perhaps we can have a nice program and get folks to call in or send us some notes. And let's talk about Christmas on Route 66. My friends, until we meet again... Well, via condios and Have a good week. And we'll, a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, Road Crew 66. We'll close this thing out. Reese, take care, and please say hello to Sam for me.
Merry Christmas to you and Judy, Jim.
Bye-bye. Hey, folks, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you found this enjoyable and inspirational. And we'll do this again next week. And feel free to use the call-in feature or type in messages. Invite your friends. And let's next week, let's talk about Christmas. Past, the present, the future. Things that we're grateful for. Things that we're looking forward to in a new year. Let's send this year out with a bang.